Amen. Psalm 2 in the Word of God. Psalm 2. And just remain standing if you want to. We're going to read in just a moment. And it is an honor to be here again. We've enjoyed our stay here. We were out in Ventura for a few days with a pastor and the deacons from Lancaster Baptist Church and enjoyed that. And then came in, preached in Lawrence Hall, got the men of right with God over in Lawrence the other night. The men had an invitation. Everybody came forward. We preached on boys wearing tight britches. By the way, don't be doing that. Amen. And then, of course, last night I had a wonderful time. And today, I've been looking forward to this. I love the West Coast Baptist College. I love the men on this platform. And the men, I want you to know that I pray for you on a regular basis. And thank the Lord for these men of God that lead. It's a wonderful place. I'm grateful for the song the girls sang just a moment ago, and they were nervous. They would sing in our church often. But that particular song, God is Good, always good. Dr. John Bishop works out of our church, his ministry. God is so good. He's been here several times. And how many know Brother Bishop, John Bishop? He got meningitis years ago and lost all of his memory and his ability to even walk and everything. His wife and the Lord got him back to health, the Lord especially, but his wife nursed him back. And his ministry now, God is Good. Always, always. And I appreciate that song in the spirit in which it was sung. And I want you to remember that at this stage in your college education, that even in the darkest hour, God is always good. And I appreciate that so much. And let's read the Word of God. I do have three quick things I want to tell you. I was sitting over there, and I've watched this student body grow over the past several years. I've been coming out here about 11, 12 years maybe. The school's in existence for close to 15 years now. And so I've watched this thing grow, and again, another large student body. And I wrote three quick things down. I wanted to say, and not tell a joke or anything, I just want to say this because I think it's important. I hope that, number one, you'll realize this is an historic place. I'm outside the box. You're in the box. You remember when you came here how exciting the news was about West Coast Baptist College and this church. And now you're here. If you're not careful, you'll lose the wow factor, the wonder of it all. There's more to it than that, but I want you to realize you are in an historic place. And the half is yet to be told because this thing is moving on. I wouldn't tell you what I really think God's going to do with this place just in the next year or so, but I know the pastor has a tremendous vision, but I know what's shaping up in our nation. And I understand what's shaping up in fundamentalism. And I want you to know that I want you to realize, man, just my mama, when she really wanted to get my attention, she'd pinch me right there. That is a terrible place to get pinched. But if you can't figure it out, just reach up there and grab that little small part of your arm until you realize where you are. Amen. Some of you are doing it right now. Don't pinch your neighbor. Number two, as you go home, recruit. And I don't mean be unkind to any other ministry, because there are some tremendous ministries out there. But if you found a good thing here, you ought to go home and tell others about it. I think the best recruiting tool that any ministry has, especially a college, is the students in that college. When you go back home for your breaks and you go back home for summertime, these students that are trying to make decisions, you bring them out here to the desert and let God teach them out here. Do a little recruiting. I wrote this third thing down, and that is this. I believe that the hope for revival in America is in this room right here. And ministries like it. I know Dr. Getch burns the midnight oil as he teaches here and works in this ministry and then also carries on a revival ministry, and other men do as well. This church sends out preachers every week, but they're trying to stir up the people of God to revival. And I'm just going to say like this, if we don't see revival real soon in America, things are going to change drastically. They're changing quickly now. That is not to say that the church will fail, because the church will never fail. But I sure wish we'd learn our lesson how we can serve God in good times in a nation instead of serving God in bad times. Nobody's head's getting cut off here in America yet. And I wish we could just rise to the occasion right now. And I want you to understand, there's a lot. How many are going to be preachers? You're going to have to preach in some way. Hold your hand at preachers. Fellas, I want you to understand that you ought to start feeling the burden right now. You ought to start feeling a little bit of pressure from God to get your studies, get it in a sincere manner, and get out there and get it done. Forgive me. In the South, we say, get her done. And we need you to do that. And you're here for a purpose. I felt like sharing that with you. And I am so for what God is doing here. And I'm in a lot of places I get around. And I would not be unkind. I'm just saying, God is in this place. And don't ever forget that. And I want you to look at Psalm 2 now as we get into the Word of God. Verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Watch this now. And against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. God has a saying that in verse 4. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And there's so much in this passage. I want to just pluck out one verse and share some thoughts from verse number 3. Would you read that verse with me together? Verse number 3, ready? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I want to speak on just a while on this subject, the bands and cords of our faith. I feel it right here in this room. It was the bands and cords of our faith that got you to this place. And I want you to understand the importance of the right kind of unity and the right kind of fellowship. And I want you to understand what it means to be in the body of Christ as we speak about the bands and cords of our faith. Let's pray together. Father, bless us now. We thank You for this student body. We thank You for the joy that's on this campus and for the wonderful song we were just able to hear and remember at this special time in this semester that You're always good. And I pray that You'll bless us. Give me, please, the power of Your Holy Spirit. I so much desire to communicate this message. And so I'm going to need Your help, Lord, and I'm going to need You to just kind of let the folks in their brain put away and table for a while what's coming up next. Maybe some engagement with somebody or a class or whatever. And Lord, if just for a while You could help us to be hearers of the Word so we might be doers of the Word and teach us, we pray, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was reading an illustration a few months ago about a man named Reverend John Fawcett, who was a pastor in a small church in Wainsgate, England. And he was called from there to a larger church in London in 1772. He accepted the call, and he preached his farewell sermon to that church, always a hard thing to do. And there are times, I suppose, the Lord moves folks. But the wagons were loaded and with his books and his furniture, and all was ready for the departure when his congregation gathered around he and his wife out by the wagon before they left. And with tears in their eyes, they begged the pastor and his wife to stay in Wainsgate. And his wife could not bear it any longer, and she said, "Old John, John, I cannot bear this. Could we not stay?" And tears filled the pastor's eyes, and he said, "Neither can I. We will not go." And they unloaded the wagons, and he gave the command to put everything back as it was before. And he went inside his small parsonage, and with the great joy that he saw on the faces of his people, he wrote the hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows that sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. This glorious hope revives our courage by the way, while each in expectation lives and longs to see that day. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity." That's probably in your hymnals. "Blessed be the tie that binds." Speaking of the bands and cords of our faith. You know, the world really doesn't understand the bands and cords that hold us together in this thing called Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, you're a born-again Christian. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. Your name by the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know they may not fully understand the bands and cords that hold us together, but they will someday. They'll understand someday. They'll figure it out. We're bound by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of Jesus. We're bound by Christian love for each other. We're bound by the sweet fellowship that is cheerful. We're bound by the common property that we all own in heaven someday. We are held together by the cords of Scripture and the Word of God that you have in your lap that we believe and obey. We are held together by the cords of the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, constraining us to live right. We are bound by the cords of the great hope and soon return of our Savior in the clouds. We're baptized in the one faith, one Lord. We trust in one Lord. We pray together. We weep together. We sing together. We serve together. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life together. Blessed be the tie that binds our bands and cords. Hold us together. I was thinking here, and this happens often as a fundamental pastor, there'll be those that will rise up and maybe go a contemporary form of Christianity, and you know, they'll call back after a while, Dr. Gatch, and they'll say, hey, man, you ought to come over to the land of the free. Why over here? You know, we don't have all those standards. Hey, listen, everybody has a standard. It's just some standards are lower than others. Hey, come on over to the land of the free. You don't have to be bound by all of that fundamental doctrine. And by the way, if I thought fundamental doctrine was wrong, I would get out. What is wrong with the virgin birth of Christ and the deity of Christ and the inspiration of Scripture? Amen, right there. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with any of that. The problem comes with the lines of demarcation that we call separation from the world. And they'll slip out and they'll take just what little bit of doctrine and philosophy they want to, and they come back and they say, hey, man, come on over here. It's groovy out here. Come to the land of the free. I'm sorry. I want you to know that I have willingly allowed myself to be bound by the bands and cords of my faith. I do not feel the least bit fettered but free. I do not feel repressed. I feel relieved that I'm not plagued with my sin any longer. And I want you to notice here in verse number 2, the last part, they were after the Lord's anointed. Not just the Lord himself, because he's named in the verse, but those that are set apart for God's work and those that are on fire by the Holy Spirit of God. They're anointed by the Spirit of God, and those that have set themselves on the path of the straight and narrow. I want you to know that the world comes after you. They don't want you coming to a college like this and getting fired up to do the Lord's work. They don't want you to feel, Satan wants you to question your call. Satan doesn't want you to be anointed and filled with the Spirit of God. Satan does not want you on the straight and narrow. By the way, last time I checked, wide is the way which leads to destruction, and straight is the way which leads to life. Hey, it's okay to be taught some standards and convictions. And I'm not preaching on that. I'm just saying they're coming after the anointed. When you leave this place, you still want to be anointed, right? When you leave this place, you still want to have some fire that was put in your bones at this church and college? And they come after that. I want to report to you that I do not feel deprived. I feel delighted about the benefits that I have secured when I felt those bands and cords save my life from a devil's hell. And the world would have you to believe that Christians are miserable and that they need to be freed from their religion. I want you to know that that is a very pagan way of thinking, and that's what we're hearing today. Man needs to be freed from Satan's snare, not God's salvation. Free me from life in Christ, the life in Christ. Free me from the pure Son of God. Deliver me from a life of drunkenness and drugs and lying and stealing and cheating and adultery. I don't want any part of that. Nor do I want the emotional snare that I get into and the bands and cords that hold me when I go back out in the world. See, we all have bands and cords. We have Reformers Unanimous at our church, and one of the things we try to do is take the Word of God and free people from the bands and cords of the world and sin. There are those who conspire to break us apart. Our church, our Christian homes, our marriages, our Christian nation. And the unsaved world is in a rage right now. The Bible declares here, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine the main thing. I mean, they're upset about the fact that we have a Christian nation. Last time I checked, we still have "In God We Trust" in our coins. I don't know how long it's going to last. Last time I checked, we still pledge the allegiance to the flag, and "Under God we say, indivisible." We still are, in at least name, a Christian nation. And I want you to know that the unsaved world is upset about that. And it seems like the rage is gathering today. People in high places do not want to be governed by God anymore. Anyone else tell them what to do as far as bringing the nation under God. It's about to drive them crazy. And they're coming after what we call the bands and cords. The Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We have some threefold cords. I think they come after the Lord and the pastors and the people, and they try to break those apart. The threefold cord of the church, God, the home and the church, the threefold cord of the family, the husband, the wife, and the children. They've all but destroyed the threefold cord of the people and God and government. We've taken God completely out of that equation. But I want to remind you that the threefold cord, again, is not quickly broken. And it may seem as though the heathen are accomplishing their cause, but they imagine a vain thing, the Bible says. And the Lord will laugh in the heavens and hold them in derision. There will be a payday someday. Now think about some of the things that's coming down the pike right now, the hate crime bills. And I know that you all don't get a lot of news in here, and that's probably a good thing, but there's a lot going on out there right now. And I want you to understand, if our president can send a strong arm letter to insurance, the heads of large insurance companies, and tell them what they should do, and send letters and bring all the bankers of leading banks in and tell them what they should do, and take over organizations as large as General Motors and now own the majority share of their stocks, if they can move in on companies like that, it's only a matter of time. Listen to me. It's only a matter of time before the church becomes strong-armed. You see, you may be moving into a whole different transition as you leave here as far as the church work is concerned in America. And all the preparation you receive here will not help if you're not the anointed and filled with the power of God. As we continue to lose our freedoms and liberties and the rights that we have enjoyed since childhood, I want to remind you of the importance of our bands and the bands and cords of our faith. I want you to write down three things this morning from this passage. Number one, I want to talk to you for just a moment about the strength of our bands and cords. What's this all about? I want you to understand that we're held together by the omnipotent power of Almighty God. What brings us to this place today, this chapel at West Coast Baptist College, and what pulls us together in churches of like faith is that we rally around the fact that we believe in an omnipotent, omniscient, almighty, all-powerful God. It holds us together. The church of the living God is not some loosely knit organization. It is a living organism made up of blood-bought believers that filled with the Spirit of God, and they carry with them the inspired, God-breathed Bible under their arms. And the Bible says that the gates of hell should not prevail against this kind of church. And those saints of God, I thought about in the dark ages of the church that laid their heads on the chopping block of the heathen powers. We read about in our history books and in our history classes, the martyrs, and they knew the victory was secure for them as their head was lopped off. But as for the executioner and the court that gave the order to execute, please understand, they're going to face God someday. I don't long for that. I'm not looking for any kind of persecution. That's why I say, why don't we learn how to have revival when times are good? And I still believe it's possible. While the martyrs have died for their faith in Christ Jesus down through time, the church continues to march on. The Dark Ages, the Reformation, we're still marching on. Because God holds this thing together. This thing is not of man. And I know Pastor would agree with this. Dr. Getch and these men on this platform, we are men of flesh that God has called out to use. But this thing is not built around men, it's built around God. And I want you to keep your eyes on the Lord. I tell our church, I understand that I am the under shepherd and I'm an example to the flock and I'm the teacher of the flock and I'm the, you might say, the protector of the flock. But I tell them, I always want to get their eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Without Him and the Holy Spirit of God, I'm nothing and you're nothing. The strength of our bands and cords, the cords of our faith, are found in the power of Almighty God. Number two, would you write this down, please? The fellowship of our bands and cords. The fellowship of our bands and cords. This thing called the church is a wonderful thing. We're the called out ones. We're the ones that have accepted the straight and narrow way, and we're not better than anyone else. We've just chosen a better route. And this tie that binds us allows us to love the unlovely and to help the fallen and to weep with those that weep. And these bands that hold us all to a common purpose of seeing the world come to Christ. I mean, this is an exciting thing. And the plan and the purpose of the church is a wonderful thing. This vision, these goals that God has given the church, the great commission to win the world to Him, is what brings us together. Many of you here preparing to be missionaries and to go to some part of the uttermost and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a number of you here, and missionaries will kind of group off, and pastors will kind of group off, and some of you guys are evangelists who are saying, you'll get kind of excited about your idea of what God wants you to do in His vineyard. And you pastors' wives and missionaries' wives and school teachers and all this, it all comes together for the band and the core that God has brought us to this place. That is to win the world to Christ. Let every person hear the gospel. And the cords cause us to rejoice and shout and look forward to the blessed hope. Oh, I feel so loved in the church of God. The bands and cords that hold us together. I love the fellowship. I love the handshaking. I love the singing in unison. I love the giving and the offering of God as we watch the work of God be built up. It's all a part of the bands and cords. The world doesn't understand that. They don't have a clue what this fellowship means, called the church. May its tribe increase. Or this third thing down, number three, the wisdom of our bands and cords. The wisdom of our bands and cords. The unchurched population is growing in an amazing way, unfortunately. And with the anti-Christian sentiment, it's producing a society that God will not support. And thus the downward spiral of America. Now you all are old enough to start paying attention to what's going on in the world. There's going to come a day that nobody's going to be able to think for you. And you're going to have to understand politics. And you're going to have to understand the laws that our land is making and how it affects you and your ministry. God has opinion about all this stuff. Cap and trade. Health care. I want you to understand that there's a lot of Bible principle being broken in some of these things. And I know that I'm preaching on the West Coast. I understand that. But God has a plan on this idea of global warming too. And you may want to read your Bible before you go off on the deep end there. Not long ago, a leading pastor right here, evangelical pastor right here in California, changed his entire ministry and went green. Our focus is not on the dirt on this planet. Our focus is on the population, the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Let's get it right. Don't go off on some tangent. You gotta let the Lord help you with your thinking. And you need to have your thumb on the pulse. And I know that access is limited to the outside of the internet and news, and you don't have a television in your dorm room, and glory to God, praise Him for that. Because y'all learn to get focused on the Word of God. Man, unless you're watching Barney Fife and Andy Griffith, I don't think it's worth it anyhow. Let me tell you how bad it is. Christopher Hitchens is the author of a book entitled God Is Not Great. The subtitle, How Religion Poisons Everything. In his book, as many out there are now, he preaches an intolerance for anything promoting Christianity. But he goes much further in the debate. He unashamedly states that evangelical Christian message, which I believe ours is more narrow than that, that the evangelical Christian message should not, or should, excuse me, should be seen as the worst thing that has ever happened to humanity, and it should be abolished from our society. And I want you to know that people are listening to this guy. It was not a number one bestseller, but it was a bestseller. And folks are reading this slop. Please understand, this man's opinion is exactly what is being taught in every major college and university right now. And it doesn't take it rocket science to figure out that they outnumber this number. So you're going to have to work extra hard with the power of God to get God's message out. When the world's going one way, trying to break apart the bands and cords that hold this thing together, you ought to be going in their face, swimming upstream, telling the world that Jesus saves, telling the world that the straight and narrow and the Bible way is the right way. Sometimes you feel like the only person out there doing that. So be it. Can I say that these folks are going to lose according to Psalm 2? And you need to make sure that you're on the right side. You need to believe the Christian way is the right way. It's the only way to heaven. And living for God is just a smart thing to do. There is wisdom in the bands and cords of our faith. There's just wisdom in this. God made this planet. He created us. Therefore, He ought to have the right, and He certainly has the knowledge to tell us how we ought to live. The thought's going to cross your brain someday, sitting here in a college that is on the straight and narrow way. And this thought happens many times, and it goes something like this. Boy, I'm grateful for what I'm taught here as far as doctrine is concerned. But boy, when I get out there, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of lighten this thing a little bit, because if I start preaching to my people about modesty, or if I start telling them how bad the movies are, I'm not going to get a crowd. That's a mistake. That's unwise. Straight and narrow is still in the Bible. And you ought to make it the popular thing in your church. Many of you came out of church youth groups. These preachers preach to youth groups all the time. The hottest youth groups in America are those that make living for God in a separated way and emphasizing soul winning. These are the youth groups that make that popular, the ones that are successful in getting kids to colleges just like this. The groovy youth groups do not send their kids to colleges like this. You understand that? And so there's wisdom in the bands and cords that hold us together. There's so much I could say. I want to kind of wrap this up just so you understand where I'm coming from. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Look what the Bible says here in Psalm 2. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed, saying, let's break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords. He that saith in the heavens shall laugh." I have another message I preached on this passage entitled "When God Laughs." I don't know what that laugh is, but I don't ever want to hear it. I don't think it's a laugh because it's humorous. It's a laugh that's like, I'm going to show you. I told you. You had your chance. Now I'm going to show you. And the Lord shall have them in derision. There will be a payday someday. I want you to understand there's strength in this thing, there's fellowship in this thing, and there's wisdom in this thing called the bands and cords that hold us together. Let me tell you, you don't need to change a thing when you leave here. If I thought this college was teaching something wrong, I wouldn't be standing right here preaching right now. I am so for what they're doing. What we need is listen and learn and get the power of God on us as we leave this place, and let's get it done for God. The bands and cords. It's so important. We hear a lot about unity and things like that, and unification. You're going to hear a whole lot about that. And even in our own fundamental circles now, they're bringing in some things from the outside. Some men are making some unholy alliances right now. It's making me real nervous. And you're going to fall into that. You're going to have to make choices someday about what your position is on this and that. And, well, you know, as long as I preach the gospel, does it really matter who I yoke up with? And you're going to have to make decisions about all that. It matters to me, and I hope it matters to you someday. And I thought about how important this whole thing is. When I was a little boy, my dad worked at a place called Kaiser Aluminum. It was a large aluminum plant, and they always had a yearly picnic for all the employees, and they'd have little carnivals and different things. And they had a thing called a three-legged race. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, Dr. R, and I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'd like to run that three-legged race. He said, well, your brothers aren't around. Who are you going to run with? I said, I don't know, Dad. I said, I just want to, they were going to give away a Camp King pocket knife. And it was a nice little camping, had a bottle opener and a leather punch and had the blade, had all this stuff, screwdriver. And I thought, man, I'd love to get that Camp King pocket knife. And they had just held it up. Until, now, the boys that win the three-legged race are going to get a Camp King pocket knife. I said, Dad, I want to run that three-legged race. He said, well, what are you going to get? So I looked around and I said, I don't know anybody here, Dad. And so Dad said, well, let me find somebody about your size. And Dad looked around and he found a boy my size. I remember his name this day. His name was Jeffrey Hanna. I don't know why. I can't remember nothing. I remember this guy's name. And so Dad took us over there and took us in the field next to where we're going to race and took us over. He said, now, boys, I'm going to tie your leg together. And he took a cord and he tied our legs together real tight. He said, now, we're going to get over here and practice. And so, boy, the first few times around, man, we fell. I thought I was going to break my leg. Probably would have. I was as old as I am now. And we fumbled and stumbled around. He said, no, boys, I said, you're not going. He said, you got to work in unison. You got to work as one. He said, act like you're Siamese twins. And we knew what that was. And so I put my arm around Jeffrey, and Jeffrey put his arm around me. And he said, and Dad started counting off. He'd go, one, two, one, two, one. And we practiced back and forth in that field. And we got good. Man, we laughed. We said, we're good at this. And back and forth. We just did it for about a half hour. We got out there and ran that race. I think everybody else fell down but us. We shot across that finish line and we both won the Camp King pocket knife. You say, how'd you get that? We understood the importance of that band and that cord around our leg and the importance of working together. We didn't change it. We could not fight against the band and the cord. When we fought against the band and the cord, we would have lost. We fell down. If we would fight against the band and the cord, we would not be successful in the race. Don't ever fight against the band and cord. The world sees the band and cord. We first started out 6,000 years ago. Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the cool of the garden. They had sweet fellowship in the cool of the garden. And Satan looked down. Satan saw all that. He said, they're getting too close. They're getting too close. I got to break this thing up. Boy, he broke it up and plunged man into sin. I think about the Israelites who were in Egypt. And they got the best part of the land right there when Joseph took over and Daddy came home and all of his brothers and they started to populate and they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And one day Joseph died and Pharaoh that knew Joseph died and there rose up a Pharaoh that didn't understand the Israelites and he looked at him one day and said, this crowd's getting too big. They're getting too big. What's that, preacher? Israelites, God's people's getting too big. Let's break their bands asunder and cast their cords away. They started putting heavy affliction on them and burdens on them. And the Bible says the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. And they got bigger and bigger. And you know what happened after that, the Red Sea and all that, the Passover and all that. I'm just saying the world looks. The world looked at the disciples, the 12 that walked with Jesus Christ. For 3.5 years, these men gained knowledge and power. And they grew stronger and stronger because these 12 were going to be the apostles, the eyewitnesses that would turn the world upside down. And the world looked at him and said, this man Jesus is out of control. The Pharisees resented the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. They refused him. They said, we got to do something about that. And they conspired. And they came together in secret meetings and Judas rose up and was bought out. And you know the rest of the story. They took the leader, our leader, the precious son of Jesus Christ and hung him on the cross one day. Let us break their bands asunder. Cast away their cords. Away with this movement called Christianity. 3 days went by And that tomb was found empty. Along comes the church. Those apostles did their job in a powerful way. And they started with 3,000 and then 5,000 plus women and children. And there were just thousands and thousands in that early church. And their bands were becoming strong. And their cords were like tentacles going out, pulling in more and more. And then they multiplied and then became a multitude. And the government, Roman government said, this thing's getting too big. It's out of control. There's a little persecution here, a little persecution there. They said something's got to happen. They're turning the world upside down. You say, preacher, do you think they turned the world upside down? I do. The Bible says in one place that all of Asia Minor heard the gospel. They weren't all saved, but they all heard. They said, we're going to break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. I just want to say today, thank God for the bands and cords that hold us together. And friend, I want you to know there's some momentum building. And there is strength in numbers, and you will not always have the numbers. But I want you to know, it's a whole lot more exciting preaching to thousands instead of a handful. Thank God for the handful. I used to play basketball in high school, and I can tell you that you just played better when there was a full house. Remember that when the Eagles are playing. Bird, what is that called? Bird cage and all, if it's even still in existence. And I want you to know that there's nothing like seeing something like this grow. Our bands and cords. But it's disastrous whenever we allow the heathen to rage and to win and breaking up a wonderful thing. Let's stand together. To our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I appreciate your attention this morning. I want you to see the importance of your bands and cords. Someday, you young ladies are going to marry that knight in shining armor. And you men are going to put a ring on her finger, and she's going to put a ring on your finger, a band and cord that says you're going to stay together. You'll not do it if you don't understand the importance of that unity. The bands and cords of the church, the bands and cords of your marriage, the bands and cords. There's so much we can talk about, the family. And you guys are going to be preachers. You need to understand, you don't walk to the tune of the world and the brethren. You walk to the tune of the bands and cords of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And the world will try to cast that off, the bands and cords of our faith. Father, thank you for your word today. And I pray that you'll help the young people to assimilate this and work it out in their brains and see how important this great fellowship is, this unity is. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.